And everyone agreed by saying, amen. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and I'm going to share this in the New King James Version. And if you don't have, you know, you can look on with someone because my understanding is we don't have we won't have the words on the screen, the passages on the screen. But how many of you know we got by for years without that? It's nice, but not necessary. Let's read it together. I don't care what translation you have. I'm in the New King James. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's very important that we realize that all things have become new because we are new creations in Christ. See, we're not refurbished. You know, it's one of the programs that Deacon Phyllis and I like to watch together is Love It or List It. They refurbish those houses. And they look nice. We both agreed that, you know, they can do our place. Okay. But it's not new. It's refurbished. When we received Jesus Christ as Savior, we didn't become refurbished. We became brand spanking new. And we have to understand that. We have to. Now, being a new creature in Christ and understanding that our title is believer, I'm convinced, personally and seriously, I'm convinced that it is the intention of every believer to live by faith. I believe that. It's their intention. But something happens. You know, this thing called life happens. I say this often. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. One translation says, you'll have distresses. Things will make you uneasy and uncomfortable. He said, but don't be dismayed. When something happens, we never get to that part. We say, yeah, Jesus said this was going to happen, and here it is. I don't know what I'm going to do. Read the rest of it. Okay. He said, don't be dismayed. I have overcome the world. I have taken away its power to harm you. Folks, do you know how powerful that statement is? No matter what the world comes with, it does not have, well, let me say it this way. While it may come with the power to harm you, our Savior said he has taken it away from them. He's disarmed them. They no longer have the ability to harm us. They may harm someone who is not one of us, but he cannot harm us. We have to understand that, because when we understand that, we won't get frustrated and flustered, and we won't be, as Pastor Clinton used to say, we won't be scared of nothing. Okay? We need to see, when situations happen, we know that we may know some general scriptures, you know, that we casually say because we've memorized them. You know, we may have learned them in Sunday school or during a service, but there's some general things that we know. The problem is it's only up here in our heads. It's not in our hearts. And so even though we may say it, we don't really believe it. What we believe is, this is what they say you should say in these types of situations. And because our heart is not in it, We don't see the results. And then we come up with the conclusion. I guess this isn't for me. I guess this is my lot. I guess I'm the person that make other Christians look good. I don't know. We look inside of us, and there's nothing inside of us that we can grab hold to that will keep us steady. And we keep looking and looking and looking, and we'll remember a scripture or some scriptures, but it's not in our hearts. It's not in our hearts. So it has no, it's like they have no teeth. You know, it's like me trying to grab hold of this with no fingers. Just keep sliding off no matter what you do. In Mark 11, verses 23 and 24, this is one of those scriptures that everybody, practically everybody knows. But I'm going to share it in the Johnson Paraphrase translation and in the Knox, K-N-O-X, translation. The Johnson Paraphrase says, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize a statement. When anyone's expression and prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. The Knox translation says, I promise you, if anyone says to this mountain, remove and be cast into the sea, and has no hesitation in his heart, but is sure that what he says is to come about, his wish will be granted. Folks, there are key statements in both of those passages, in those translations, that point to the solution. Anyone who speaks to the mountain yonder saying, go dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the words that he spoke, does not become separated. I shared with you a number of times about how I was before Christ. I was very good at making people separate themselves from the words that they had said concerning me. Well, circumstances do the same thing. I asked last week, anybody ever have a headache? No one? I'm not wishing it on. I mean, people like, if I raise it, am I admitting to being sick? I've had headaches. I had one last night. Okay. But what happens is sometimes, not all the time, every now and then, that headache, that's just, I know it's there. It's not stopping me from doing anything. I just know it's there. But all of a sudden it changes. Now it's a throbbing headache where it's like someone's got something on the side of my head and just going push, 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 push. They're trying to get my brain CPR, you know. And I'll tolerate that. I said, this isn't going to stop me. I'm going to go. Then it'll start pounding. That gets a little different. Let's whip out the Tylenol. Okay, it's pounding. And sometimes it'll give other symptoms. It'll cause a weakness down the entire left side. And when that happens, guess what your brain says? Hey, buddy, you're about to stroke out. Then your heart starts pounding. And if you take your blood pressure, the scale is off the... Because the enemy kept turning up the notch because he wants you to separate yourself from with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed. He wants you to separate yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He wants you to separate yourselves from those words. And we need to understand that and prepare ourselves so that we can hold up under the pressure. As an athlete, I trained. I trained in ways other people didn't train because I realized some things about me. I wasn't the most talented player around, but nobody was going to be in better shape than me, period. So I didn't just say this, and then when it came time to go out and run, I'd say, oh, I'm tired. Oh, it's hot. I don't know if I'm going to run that distance. No. No. It was available for me, and I was taking it all in. So I'd ride the bus from Beach 41st Street to Beach 160-something Street and run back home in the sand near the boardwalk. 5 days a week. I'd get home and run up to the 12th floor, take the elevator down, and run up to the 12th floor and take the elevator. I do that, but all that time, I am seeing myself overcoming situations in games. I am seeing game time things. I had those visions in my head where I could see them, and I see myself not getting tired, going through, handling it. So I didn't care who came. I didn't care what their name was or what professional team they played for. I didn't care because I knew who I was, I knew I was in shape, and I had faith in our coach's strategy, period. So nothing during the game would cause me to become separated from our game plan. I stuck with the game plan. If the game plan changed, it was on the coach, not on me. Not on me. But the actions, my actions, caused some members of the other team to back away from things they were saying. And some would, I kid you not, they would actually act like they'd never heard of the game basketball before because they were too busy focusing on what we were doing and not thinking about what they were doing. And there were a lot of instances they were much better teams than we were. But they weren't mentally tough, so they couldn't handle the pressure. We have to become spiritually tough so we can handle the pressure as we walk our way through to the victory that's been assured us. The Bible tells us that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always means you never lose. If you always triumph, you never lose. And when I hear those kind of promises, I search because I want to see if there's an exception. I want to see if it says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, unless. I never find an unless. And so that tells me that even when I miss it, the devil still does not have the right or the power to take me out. I haven't seen that. You have power over all the power of the devil unless you make a mistake. I haven't seen that. And until I do, as far as I'm concerned, whatever state I find myself in, the devil still does not have power over me. Amen. So stop saying the devil was causing me to think that. No, he has the right to put to send a thought your way. He absolutely does. I know that because the scripture tells us what to do when that thought comes. So if he wasn't ever going to send a thought our way, why would God tell us, capture those thoughts? Capture them. So that must mean they're not more powerful than me. when anyone's expression in prayer is congruent, when anyone's expression in prayer is equal, agrees with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. See, what that means is that your heart, your mouth should agree with what your heart, with what's in your heart. See, we will say, with the stripes, I am healed. And it's from our head. It's not from our heart. And if truth be told, our heart is not in agreement with what our mouth is saying. But we feel we're supposed to say it, so we say it. We need to take the time to find out what it means. So when you say it, it has some substance, it has some power, it has some punch. Because you now, it's backed up by your belief. And if it's backed up by your belief, that means you've just taken a key and unlocked one of the doors in the kingdom of heaven, and all of heaven is now backing you up. Exactly like, think about it. Traffic light. It's not human. It's a piece of equipment that has authority. And make a faith statement here. All of us, all of us recognize the authority of that traffic light. Even when it's green, we don't have a problem with green. Anyone have a problem with green? No, we like green. Okay. Then it turns to yellow. I knew someone once. They took the written test. I said, when you're approaching the intersection and the traffic light turns yellow, what do you do? They selected speed up and go through the intersection. I said, and they told me, I said, that's not what they, but that's what I see people do. I'm like, did you read the book? But that's what happens, folks, when things come up. You need to ask yourself, did you read the book? Did you understand what it was saying? But people will stop. They'll start to slow down because they see a yellow light. And when it turns red, they stop. They stop. There's no person there. They understand. You understand authority. So there should be no reason why we're not understanding faith. Because all it took, according to the word, the centurion said, I'm a man under authority. I understand how this works. I say, go to my men, and they go. I say, stop, they stop. Period. There's no question about it, because I'm in authority. We recognize that that traffic light has authority. And when it says stop, we stop. We may not want to stop. We may get upset that the stop is too long. But we stop because we know we are under the authority of that traffic light. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to understand that the authority we have in our faith. Period. It has to be, what we say has to agree with our heart. And our heart has to agree with the word of God. We all know the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So if we have faith, we must have heard the word somewhere along the line. But we haven't taken the time to understand just what it is we have when we say, I have faith. We need to understand, what am I actually saying? The Knox translation, remember that's when he says, I promise you, if anyone says to this mountain, remove and be cast in the sea, and has no hesitation in his heart, but is sure. Sure. I don't care what comes up, what God said is going to happen. I don't care what it looks like. God said, and I believe it. So I'm going on. It's just that simple. I'm going on. But see, the problem is we don't remember what God said because we're too busy being in awe as to what's happening. We're too busy being frightened, shocked, in wonder. I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, I don't know where this came from. And I used to say the same thing. Well, where did this come? It doesn't matter. When I played basketball, I didn't care where the players came from. And I never asked them, where'd you come from? You don't know? How many years have you played? You know what? You know what mattered to me? They had on a different color uniform. So they had to fall. They weren't on my team. Circumstances are not on our team. They have to fall. And we're the ones that caused them to fall. If we know who we are and we understand what we have. And the only way to do that is to spend time in the Word. When David was preparing to fight Goliath, you can read it in 1 Samuel 17, he declined to use King Saul's armor. Declined. The king says, take my armor. Like he's being so kingly. If he was so kingly, he'd been saying, I'm going out and fight Goliath. Okay. But he said, no, use my armor. And David, being respectful, put it on, said, I can't use this. I haven't proved this. I have no experience with this. I've never seen this. And now I'm going out into a life and death situation with equipment that I've never used before. It's like me pulling up to the gas station and I don't know how to open the fuel tank. What am I going to do? No, David decided he was going to go with he was used to. And what he was used to was trusting God to bring him through. Because he said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will beat this uncircumcised Philistine. He'll be like one of them. He had experience believing everything that God said. Everything. And he put it to work. He didn't understand this concept, folks, because this gets a lot of us in trouble. David didn't ask for more faith to fight Goliath. David said, I killed the lion, I killed the bear. The same God that killed the lion and the bear is going to kill Goliath. Period. He didn't say, well, I've never fought a human, so let me go find some humans to fight first. You know, first I'll get some about my size because Goliath is 10 feet tall. I got to work myself up to dealing with someone 10 feet tall. I don't know if I can jump that high, you know, to wound him in a critical spot. Maybe I'll chop him in the knee and make him fall down something, you know. No, he didn't say that. He said, what I possess is enough. Because he understood what he had. A covenant with God. And all that was necessary was the covenant. I know that because the sign of the covenant was circumcision. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's going to defy the armies of God? Not on my watch. Not on my watch. So we have to stop thinking about what you think you don't have and go with what God said you have. He said, I've given to every man the measure of faith. Period. Stop thinking, is it enough to do this? Is it enough to do that? He gave you the measure of faith. And you go with what you know that he gave you. And stop going with what the enemy is telling you. Too many of us have become familiar with habitually walking by faith. It's a habit. We say these things, you know, I'm walking by faith, but we don't take the time to understand what it means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, what happens? Then comes the evil one, snatches away the word that was sown in your heart. Snatches it away because you did not understand it. When a circumstance shows up, we see our weapons, but because we have improved them, we don't think we can use them. We're not sure. And so we hesitate. I don't know if I should do that. And we get spiritual. I don't have a good feeling down here. It's called you're scared. That's what it's called. My spirit's unsettled. No, your stomach is upset because you're afraid. Because when the spirit comes on you, you're gonna step out in boldness. Spirit's not gonna come and say, "Hey, you ready now? Are you ready?" No. No, the spirit's gonna say, now, let's go. And you're going to just step right out there and go. The moment you step out, see, people know when you step out there in authority and when you step out there and you're afraid. They know. I know. I look right away and look in someone's eyes. I'm like, oh, this game is over. I can see it in their eyes. They're not convinced that they can beat us. Game over. Game over. We have a plaque, as I told you, on the shelf in our family room that says, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. That means we trust what God says with no reservations, no hesitations, no doubt. God said it. Done. It's done. But the unfortunate truth is we have some reservations. We believe that we don't have enough faith or that our faith isn't big enough. Matthew 17, verses 19 to 20 in the Message Bible. I'm moving toward telling you why and moving toward you understanding why the title of this is It's Not a Buffet. This verse 19 to 20 in Matthew 17 in the Message Bible. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, this is after Jesus cast the devil out of, you know, the demon-possessed little boy. He said, when the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? Because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus. You're not yet taking God seriously. You don't yet believe that God is who he says he is. And if you don't believe who God is who he says he is, then you don't believe I'm who I say I am. said, the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seeds, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to bring down. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to overcome if you had a mere kernel of faith. So the size or the amount of faith you have is not the issue. It's not the issue. It's not a little faith or big faith. The problem is we're not taking God seriously and doing what he said with the faith that we have. The problem is not whether or not our faith is big or little, but it's doing what God said with the faith that we have. Because, now think about it. Why would God give you an assignment that you're ill-equipped to handle? If he gave you the assignment, he gave you everything you need to do it. God said he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able. So he's never going to allow us to go into a situation that we're incapable of handling. I know something may come into some of your minds, a situation that you say you couldn't handle. No, you didn't want to handle it. Because you got caught up in the emotion of it. But the truth is, if you're in it, you have everything you need to go through it. If you want to. If you want to. The consequence of our failure to take God seriously is that we find ourselves ill-equipped to deal with the circumstances of life successfully. Because there's information that we chose to ignore. It was made available. It was put before us. But for whatever reasons, we didn't take it. We didn't take it. We talked a lot last Sunday about attitude. And here's another place where attitude comes into play. 2 Timothy 3. We're getting closer to the buffet. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 16 and 17, this is the Message Bible. So, but don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers, why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. Listen to this. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, listen to this, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has before us. The Knox translation. Everything in the scripture has been divinely inspired and has its uses. To instruct us, to expose our errors, to correct our faults, to educate us in holy living. So God's servant will become a master of his craft, and each noble task that comes will find him ready for it. Everything that comes up, we should be found ready if we're taking in the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God. Every single scripture is divinely inspired by God so that we can take it all in and then become ready for success to successfully face and deal with any circumstances that shows up. And it won't matter how it comes or when it comes because we're ready. We're locked and loaded. We're filled with the word of God, the fullness of God, and we operate in the full measure of the faith of God. I was thinking about this last night, and I just wrote the note down. Because I remember when Muhammad Ali beat Sonny Liston the first time, He ran around. He was saying, I'm the greatest. I'm a bad man. And I was thinking about that. So when I know who I am in Christ, I'm a bad man. And the devil better watch out. Last week we were in Lancaster at the annual retreat, time just get refueled, time where you don't have to feed, you get fed. And we look forward to it. Something about Lancaster County is just relaxing. And I was sitting at our table, and I just finished breakfast, and I was thinking about what I'd just eaten, because it was good. They had put down a tremendous spread. Anybody ever have baked oatmeal? Oh. Oh. But I was thinking about what I had eaten. I mean, there was a tremendous spread, and everything on the table was nutritious. But I didn't take everything. I only took what I wanted. I only took what I thought I liked. It was all put out there for my benefit. And everything on there had nutritional value for this body. I decided I didn't want all of that. And I went for what I liked. Period. Didn't matter that it was all there for me. I only took what I wanted. And what I wanted was based on what I liked. It wasn't even based on whether or not I should. It was based on, this is what I like. So I'm going to get more of what I like. Yes, there's some other things out there that may be good for me. I don't like that. So I'm going to get my belly big on what I like, not necessarily what I need. There is nothing like the Word of God. It was prepared for us. It's available to us. All we have to do is take it, but we only take what we like. Oh, we love the prosperity scriptures. We'll fill up on those. Even though we don't know how to make them work, we'll still keep eating them. Okay. We love that. We'll drop a prosperity scripture on you in a moment. But what about the ones that tell you have to do something? We pass by that on the buffet. So get a little more. Well, I thought the scoops of healing. Yeah, okay, that's probably good. Folks, God's word is not a buffet. It's not designed for you to pick and choose what part of it you're going to feast on. The Bible says every scripture is profitable. How are we to determine what we need and what we don't need? We need it all. We need it all. When a situation comes, with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, may not be what God wants you to say, but you haven't put anything else in you. That's all you know. You think about that. It tell your neighbor, it's not a buffet. You have to feed on the whole Word of God. That's why Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, observing to do all that's written. How can you do all if you've only read some? How can it come out of you if you never put it in you? Years ago, probably somewhere around 2002, 2003. You can help me out with the dates, honey. I know you don't know where I'm going. But I had an alarming incident, and I went to the urologist, and he said, oh, no, this is common. I'm like, not with me. It's not common. You know, but he gave me an antibiotic. Then he gave me another bottle. And I'm like, what is this? He said, these are vitamins. Well, I never liked taking vitamins. He said, I want you to take these vitamins. He didn't tell me what it was for. He didn't tell me. He just said, I want you to take these vitamins. Just take them. You have a 30-day supply. Take them and come back. I'm like, I ain't taking any vitamins. I never liked taking vitamins. So I didn't take the vitamins. I didn't take the vitamins, which were a natural supplement, but I took the antibiotic, which was unnatural. But he gave them to me. I didn't have to buy them. He gave me, take these vitamins. I didn't want to, so I didn't take them. Less than a year later, developed prostate cancer. And I found out that those vitamins that I didn't like, so I didn't take, were designed to strengthen your prostate gland. And had I taken the vitamins, my prostate would have been strong enough to fight off cancer. But it didn't, because I didn't put the right stuff in me. Not because it wasn't available. I didn't like it. So I went with the medication, which was a short-term solution. As long as that event doesn't happen again, I'm good. No, I wasn't. I allowed something vile to start forming inside of me, because that which was designed to combat that, I didn't like. And we treat the Word of God the same way. We don't like it, so we don't take it. And something happens, and what we need to get through is in the part we didn't like. So when we reach inside again to pull out the answer, it's not in there. God's Word is not a buffet. It's not a place where you go and you look, oh, I like this. Okay, I'm going to read this for a while. Yeah, this is good. Then you start reading some other ones. Thou shalt obey. I don't want to read that stuff. No. But it says, when you obey, he won't allow these things to come on you that he allowed to come on the Egyptians. And you're saying, I don't want that. So what you're saying is, I want the things that came on the Egyptians. But you don't even know what came on them because that was on the buffet and you didn't like that part. Every scripture is inspired by God. It can't be, I don't like it. It's not my preference. I don't think I need it. That may be an acceptable attitude for a breakfast buffet. But that's not acceptable when it comes to the Word of God. It's not a buffet. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. It's just like it. If the Holy Ghost is present, all nine fruits are present. The Holy Ghost is never present with only six. And the Holy Ghost is in me, so I'm going to operate in love, but not patience. No, if the Holy Ghost is in me, all nine are in me. And if all nine are not in me, then the Holy Ghost isn't in me. Because the Holy Ghost can't be any place without all nine present. Because it's one. There's nothing like the Word of God. It's profitable in one way or another for everything that you could ever go through. And it will let you know that your faith is big enough right now to do anything God tells you to do. Right now, it takes away all of your excuses. We think about what part of God's word is unnecessary. I never thought anything the coach asked, well, that's not accurate. I thought him asking me to run 3 miles was unnecessary. Not because I didn't want to run 3 miles, but because it didn't put me in the shape that I needed to fight the type of battles I had to fight on the court. And where I made my mistake is I didn't talk to him about it before I changed. And then I went and I apologized to him, and I talked to him. I said, let me show you what I'm doing while you're running 3 miles. And he looked at what I was doing. He was like, whoa, that's really good. And what I thought was interesting is he didn't require the other big guys to do it. He let them continue running 3 miles, but I never got tired in the game. I never got gassed. Never had to come out. The same energy I had at the beginning, I had at the end. Because I built myself up to do that. Well, we need to be built up the same way in the Word. But you're not going to do that doing part of the Word. We have to do all of the Word. Everything in the Scripture has been divinely inspired and has its uses to instruct us, to expose our errors, to correct our faults, to educate us in holy living, so God's servant will become a master of his craft. And each noble task that comes will find him ready for it. Folks, when we realize that and embrace it and start taking and feeding on the whole Word of God, we will be fully equipped no matter what comes. We'll never be shaken, never be caught off guard. The Christians should never be caught off guard because the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. So why are we off guard? We're not looking. Why? Because in spending time in the Word, I want to watch TV. I want to watch a game. I don't want to eat this now. It's not a buffet. It's a fixed meal. And our Father expects us not to leave his table until we've cleaned our plate. And guess what? In our lifetime, we'll never clean our plate. So he wants us feasting from his table all of the time. That's why he told Joshua, meditate in the word day and night, observing to do all that's written, because then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen. Amen. I'm going to unhook. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're good. You're the true Iron Chef. You prepared this meal before us in the presence of our enemies. We can feast on your word in the presence of our enemies. And they can't lay a hand on us. They can't do anything to stop us from feasting. Lord, forgive us for being picky about your word. Forgive us for only feasting on the parts that we like. Thank you, Lord, that it's in us, it's in our hearts now that we need to feast on all of the word. We want the whole counsel. Your whole counsel, not bits and pieces. And as we hear it and read it, we will do it. We will put it to work so that our faith stays vibrant, stays alive, stays healthy, because we understand what you said in James, that faith without works is dead. And we're not going to be guilty of having dead faith when all that's required is that we allowed ourselves to keep hearing the word. We hear the word and do the work. Hear the word and do the work. Faith keeps flowing and stays healthy. And we make our way prosperous. We have good success. Thank you, Lord, that you have a way of making things so simple so that we can understand exactly what your expectations are for us as your sons and daughters. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for the victories that you always cause us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.